And I want you to listen with your spiritual hearts and minds right here. Listen to this. But he willing to justify himself. And in verse 30, and Jesus answering, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Guys, listen. I've been on that track before. Somewhere spiritual, somewhere worldly. Somewhere right, somewhere wrong. Somewhere where God is, and somewhere where God isn't. And I've been in that in-between place. Some of y'all sitting in this church this morning, you're in that in-between place. You're not in the spiritual place, right, that you belong. And you're headed to the unspiritual place where you don't belong. And you're in between there in your mind, in your actions, in your words, in your thoughts, in your behavior. And you're headed for trouble. I got in the most trouble in my life was not in the very worst place. It wasn't in the bad place. It was in the place in between. Call it bum. Guys, some of you need to hear this. Make your choice. Is it going to be God? Or is it going to be you? Is it going to be God? Or is it going to be you? And some of y'all are going, why do you keep saying you? Hey, don't you say the world? No, it's you. Because when you choose the world, you're choosing you. When you're choosing God, you're choosing Him. I got in the most trouble in my life in that place in between. You'll get in so much trouble when nobody knows where you stand. Amen. God is so cool in His book. He said, I would rather you be on fire or I would rather you be cold. I hate lukewarm. He goes, I hate people who try to sit in the middle between choosing me and choosing themselves. The Bible says it clearly. One thing is, how long will you be halt? How long will you stop between two opinions? If you're going to serve God, serve Him with all your heart. And if you're not, get to serving Baal and go with Him as hard as you can. I'm a crazy, radical preacher. Because I'm one of these people that say this. If you're going to live for this world and yourself, you better go out and empty it all. Golly, bum. You might as well just go dump it out, shoot all your bullets, shoot all your fireworks, do everything you're going to do, have the time of your life, because when it's over, and that's the best thing that's ever going to happen to you. Might as well. I know most preachers don't preach like that. Somebody will run out of here and live like hell. What's better than you living like hell in here and living like hell out there? Amen? But praise God, if you're going to serve God, just surrender it all to Him. You'll have a life that's unbelievable. You will have a life that you thought it was impossible. And people will start to mistake you for somebody who loves God and they don't really know who you are anymore. They will say something like, aren't you one of those people who love Jesus? Aren't you one of those people who believe? Aren't you some of those people who are so radical that everything that you see that's going on in the world, you can still find hope and joy and peace? Yes, I am. Some of y'all just going to have to get off the road to destruction. Some of y'all going to have to turn around like that church. I'm going to go back to church. Some of y'all need to turn around and head back to Jesus quick. Some of y'all need to turn around. Do y'all remember when they left Jesus in the temple? Do y'all remember that story? They left Jesus in the temple. I love that story. They took Jesus up there. He's like 12-year-old Jesus. He's up there at the temple in Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, they all left. The family left. The friends left. Mary, Joseph left. They start heading back home. And they got about halfway, one day's journey out. Rebecca, one day's journey out. And guess what? They all start looking around and going, you know what? We went up to temple. We went up to sacrifice. We went up for Passover. And we're headed home. And we don't have the most important thing. Hey, some of you are going to leave here today from a spiritual place. And you're not going to have the most. Most important thing to have is Jesus. You had a spiritual time, you hung out with spiritual people, but you don't have the main thing. They're walking, and all of a sudden Mary looks at Joseph, and Joseph looks at Mary, and they're like, what are we missing? Let me I'm gonna preach it good right here. Man, I can't stand you. Yeah, I'll get that in a minute. Marcita goes, amen. I had to get by that camera, I'm sorry. I can't stand you, Joseph. Getting on my nerves. Joseph's like, well, I don't say a whole lot. Y'all get that in the Bible. He don't have a lot of speaking parts in the Bible. Joseph's like, I don't really say a whole lot, but you're making me angry too. I really don't like you either. What's the problem with us? Why does it seem like we're falling apart? We just came from Passover. We just came from a little spiritual place of the world. What's wrong with us? The thing that bind us together, the thing that was holding us together the whole time, we lift it up at the temple. It's Jesus. If you're having a struggle with your mom and dad, you're having a struggle with all the people in your life, it's probably because you left Jesus somewhere. Amen? And you're wondering if it's that person or you or this or that, it's because guess what? You ain't got enough. You ain't got Jesus with you. So you know what it says? They looked for Jesus in everybody. Golly, come on, man. Have you ever tried to find Jesus in somebody else? You ain't ever going to find him in nobody else. You got to find him in him. You ain't never going to find him in this church. Some of y'all got offended. Well, ain't Jesus always at the church? No. Jesus ain't here. He's in our hearts. Amen. He ain't just, hey, guess what? You have to decide to take him. You can hang out in all the spiritual places you want to. You can go to Billy Graham's museum. You can visit his house. You can stand next to his grave. But if you don't have him, he's going to wear off. They looked through everybody, every kinfolk, every friend, everybody. And it says, and they went, and then here's what they said. They said, and it took them 3 days to get back. Y'all didn't care. How long did it take them to get away? How long did it take them to get back? Has anybody else experienced that? I can walk away from Jesus. It takes me about 5 minutes. It takes me a month to get back. Golly bum. Man, I wish we just had some. I mean, man, y'all look good. So y'all put your makeup on right. You did your hair good. But I wish some of you just get messed up one Sunday. You come out of it, you look the same when you leave. Well, we should get wrecked sometimes. I'm glad. Praise God. I'm glad that sometimes it took me a long time to get back, but I'm glad I got back. Is anybody getting back? Is there anybody in here that's getting back? Praise God. It was hard. I wish I had some real spiritual. Hey, some people in here, it was easy for you to get up and get to church. It was easy for you. Everything just pop, pop, pop. Some of y'all, man, I don't even know if I really want to go. I mean, you almost turned around before you hit the parking lot. You got in the parking lot, you're sitting in your car, and you're still thinking, I don't know if I'm going to stay. I wonder if anybody's seen me. I wonder if nobody recognizes me. Maybe I could get out. Well, they're just having a business meeting. I'll just go on home. Praise God. What verse are we on? We ain't going to get the whole thing in. I guarantee you that. Watch this right here. And a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. Fell among thieves. Underline that. You know what, Ed? I was studying this thing. I've preached this a couple hundred times. But I was sitting there looking at it, and I was sitting there thinking, I preached this so many times that those thieves were in hiding, and they were waiting. And the road from Jerusalem down to Jericho was a windy road with a lot of hiding places in it. You know, and they would ambush people. Especially people who were running from God would get ambushed. I preached that way every time. You know what? All of a sudden I started seeing myself. Wait a minute. It didn't happen that way. It didn't happen that way with me all the way. The enemies that really done a number on me, I had a different title for them. Oh, thanks, Chris. You'll make a great preacher one day. Say it loud. You get all the credit right here. Yeah. I called them a different name. I didn't call them enemy. I called them friends. The people that done the most damage to me, the most hurt to me, were the people that I called my friends. They didn't hide behind a rock or a tree. They hid behind masks. They hid behind personalities that weren't real. They hid behind things that they would like be one way in front of me and then another way in front of everybody else. And they kind of represented a new, free, fun lifestyle. You mean your preacher told you this? You mean your mom and dad told you that? They said if you'd done this, you would, man, this stuff right here, you'll have the best time of your life. I didn't realize that the people that were trying to sell me the things that they say that were fun, they were the most miserable people too. God, I was thinking that's going to be over bigger than what it was. But maybe I'm just going to give you all the credit that y'all are just sitting here and you're just thinking so much about that, that that's absolutely true. Amen? Because, man, the most damage I ever got done in my life was those people that I call my friend. But can I take off one spiritual layer real quick for y'all? Can I just take that off one spiritual layer? I've done a lot of damage to people too, saying I was a friend. Amen? I would like to blame it on everybody else, but I was a quick study and I was a quick learner. Amen? So guess what I did? Hurt people. Y'all might want to write this down. Hurting people hurt people. Amen? So when you get hurt sometimes, some of y'all don't know this, but some of the people that hurt you the most, they got hurt the most. They got hurt, so they hurt you. Amen? You know what? You know what's got to happen? You got to get a hold of Jesus. You got to let him forgive you. Then you got to stop the cycle, and you got to learn how to forgive, get over, get past, and move on, and do something great with your life. Don't be always be a victim, but be a victor. God, I would really loved an amen right there. And he fell among the thieves, and which was stripped of his garment, of his raiment. Oh, gosh. I don't know if he can handle this, but the devil, he always takes away your outer garment. He always takes and makes less of the things that God covers you with. He wants you naked and exposed emotionally and physically. Oh, man, God, I don't want to do this. This hurts. It's hard. It's hard preaching. See, what the devil wants you to do is he wants you to constantly get down to a place which you're exposing your outer body or your outer beauty instead of looking deeper and getting fit emotionally and spiritually sound, that somebody, if they would look past the outer beauty, they would see that you are more than what you look like on the outside. Whew. This culture, the devil, he wants to strip you away of your righteousness. He wants to strip you away of your true beauty. Amen? He wants you to get out there. He wants you to present your flesh. Amen? Golly, you know how old school that sounds when somebody's talking about the flesh in a message? Oh, brother, you can't be preaching on clothes in the church. Dude, if you know me, I'm not a clothesline preacher. You can come to church any way you want to come to church. But you better change and adapt to the way God wants you to change and adapt. Listen, the way God wants you to. You need to stand in front of the mirror that Jesus wants you to look into. And if Jesus says, that's okay, brother, or that's okay, sister, you rock it. But if he don't, then you change it. Some of y'all are going to have to be at church. You're going to be right on the way home. That preacher's talking about my clothes. Listen, I don't care what you wear. I've got blinders on my eyes. I don't care. I got one mission. That's to tell people about Jesus in a way that they can understand it. Praise God. I want you to be here at this church. I want you to come. I want you to be the most jacked up. I want you to bring the most people that nobody else wants. I want everybody to look at this church and go, I can't believe they let somebody like that in here. You know why? Because we're an emergency room hospital for Jesus. We ain't here to cater to the well done and well the perfect. We're here to work on the people who need Jesus the most. We're doctors and nurses, and we should have a little blood on us. Let's get that next point while we're there. I promise we're not going to go further than the 30th verse. I had to help some of y'all. Y'all about to hyperventilate. Which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him. Anybody here wounded? Anybody here wounded? I got a couple wounds. They're scars now. But if we picked at them, that hurt. Amen? The real church is supposed to look for the wounded. The real church is not afraid of wounds. We're supposed to be wound specialists. Cuts, abrasions, lacerations, incisions, punctures. Amen? That's the five major wounds you can have. I remember that from my Marine Corps days, just right off the spur right there. We're supposed to deal with all of them. Amen? The emotional hurt, the broken, the diseased, the addicted. Amen? Well, what if they come here and we can't handle the situation? We got the medicine for every situation. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We give him the one shot that keeps working. Amen? He might not fix it all in one day. He might not even fix it in 20 or 30 years. But He's still working on me. He's still working on me. Amen? I'm not who I want to be, but guess what? He's still working on me. Amen? Wounded him and departed. Remember when I told you about those friends that were really the enemies? Ain't that amazing? All the people that you had labeled friends, when you got wounded enough and hurt enough and you lost. Remember when the prodigal son went into that town and he spent all he had on his riotous living? He had a big party going on, but when he ran out of all the goods that his father had given him, he was all alone. Amen? Be careful. You'll tell your friends, amen? When you get in enough trouble, when you get sick enough, when people gets through the good run out of you, they'll be gone. You'll be looking around going, where they are? Where they at? And you'll say, well, you can't do anything for us anymore. You couldn't do anything for us anymore, so we had to leave. They left him there. Amen? Yeah, those enemies, they'll leave you. The people that will remain will blow your mind. Somebody, you might want to write that down. Some of y'all got somebody in there. You got them wrote down as an enemy. You got them wrote down, this person, I don't like them. Their attitude, they're different than me. But praise God, you'll be surprised. When it's all said and done, that person right there will be your ride or die. They will be there till the end. And the person that you had as a number one best friend has done been gone for a while. Remember when I first started this message, I said I was going to kind of preach the real calm and stuff. I blew that out. I'm never going to get invited to a big church. Thank God. Amen. Thank God. Leaving him half dead. Leaving him half dead. Everybody in this room, every single person in this room has been half dead before. Some of you are still half dead. You're living physically, but you're dead spiritually. Amen? Left him there, naked, wounded, uncovered. That's how we all were. No matter how good your life was going, you were naked, wounded, half dead. Amen? Half dead, laying there on the side of life. Not in a good place, not in a bad place, but all alone and couldn't do anything for yourself. That's when Jesus likes to do the best work that He does. Amen? Y'all mind if I get one more verse? Golly, I don't look up and get the answer. Verse 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest. That way, that's religion. Y'all know what religion does? I love it. Broken, half dead, left on the trail, ain't got no hope. Religion came by and seen it. Look at this. When religion said, I ain't touching that. Religion loves to talk about God, loves to have a big time in the church, but won't ever touch nothing that's hurting, bleeding, or broken. Don't want to get my suit dirty. Don't want to mess my hair up. Oh, man, if I get involved in that, I could make me late for church. And I know how the preacher is about being late for church. If you're out here rescuing somebody, I don't care if you ever show up to church. I don't care if you didn't make it the whole Sunday. Somebody said, where was you at? Man, on the way here, I seen my neighbor. He was over there in the ditch. Man, he's hurting real bad. So I had to do this, 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 and this to get him to where he needed to be just because I love him. Yeah. Well, golly, you should have been. I need your support in there singing and worshiping and praising God. I don't need your support that bad. I'm saved, born again, and on my way to heaven. Hey, man, you go out here and rescue some people, rescue them from their mess. Guess who will be sitting in here with you in a couple Sundays? That old boy will be sitting right there beside you. That old girl will be sitting there going, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. They come and rescued me. They was on their way to church. They took all their good church clothes and ruined it on me. Amen. Some of y'all need to get your church clothes dirty. Amen. Some of y'all need to change your church clothes into work clothes. Somebody would love to see you, man. They would. They'd love to see you walk off in their mess in your church clothes. Amen. They would love to watch you walk off into their mess because they already realize, well, you don't want to touch them. You don't want to mess about religion, man. Religion's cool. Religion's like, oh, man, that's a bad situation. I wonder what's wrong with their parents. I wonder what's wrong. That's religion. That's what religion does. I despise it. I despise it. Watch this right here. This is so sweet. He passed by, verse 32. Likewise, the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by the other side. Woo, that's even better. The law did one better. He started walking by, noticed him, and went, oh, look at there. Well, you can't do nothing for us. Amen? You can't do nothing. And if you can't do nothing for us, why would we want to have you around? The law always begs you to do. You have to do. Amen? Took one look at him, said, there's nothing in. They can't do nothing for us. They can't really do. Aren't you glad you ain't got to go to a church that you have to do for? You belong to Jesus. You don't have to do anything. He done it all. You do it because you want to. Golly, I'm going to give you this last one. I promise I'm going to be done. Stop laughing, Joy. You're giving it away. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. This is easy. See, the Jews hated Samaritans. So the moment he said, who is my neighbor, Jesus started spinning this story for him. And he got down there to this point right here, and he said there was a certain Samaritan who came by and had compassion. See, that's what the church needs more than anything else. They need the willingness to see somebody who's broken and they want to fix it. See somebody in a mess and they want to clean it. See somebody who needs help and want to help. See, he had compassion. You know what that lawyer, the first thing he thought, he says, I hate him. As soon as he mentions Samaritan, he goes, I hate him. We were enemies of Christ. You might not say you hated Jesus, but you were an enemy to God. You didn't like his commandment. You didn't like his rule. You didn't like his the way he done it. And you rebelled against it. So when you first started hearing about Jesus as you were coming up, when you first started coming to church, you were like, I don't like that guy. I don't like his answer. I don't think the cross is the answer to everything. I don't think repentance is the answer to everything. I don't think sin is the main problem to everything. That's what we do when we're lost. Amen? But your worst enemy, when you're lost, shows up and starts loving on you. When nobody else will. Let me put it this way. That Jewish man's laying there on the side of the road. And he probably looked up, Johnny looked up, and he's seen the priest. And he's like, oh, thank God. Oh, priest so-and-so's here. Where's he going? Where's he going? I'm about to die. I'm out here naked. Man, what in the world? And all of a sudden he said, oh, there's a Levite. Man, they've got a certain order. They've got to do certain things. Oh, man, hey, here I am. I can't speak. I can't cry out. Oh, man, they're definitely going to help me. Have you ever expected some people, had some expectations of some help, and come and looked at them? Yeah, I'm hurt. I'm dying. Do something. Lay hands on me. Pray for me. Do something. Pick me up. Help me. Just hug me. Just let me talk. And all of a sudden, God, man, I wish y'all let me preach right here. Just let me get this last one. Man, all of a sudden, he feels somebody, golly. Lamar, he feels his leg. He feels like somebody straightened one leg out and straightened another leg out. He's like, I didn't even hear anybody show up. Wait a minute, man, I think this guy's, he's kind of getting me in a place. Wait a minute, is that, man, that's wet. What is that? That's oil. Oh, my God, this man's, he's taking off his turban, he's taking off his outer garment, and he's wiping away all of the wounds, and now he's pouring in. That costs money. Oh, my God, that's a Samaritan. That ain't, I don't like him. I don't like the way he does that. I don't like the way Jesus. I don't like the way Jesus does that. Him. I hate him. Wait a minute, he's picking me up. He's picking me up. I didn't even think I'd ever get back. God, we shouted. I didn't think I was ever going to get up again. He's putting me on his beast. He's carrying me. I hate him. God, I love him. God, I love him. God, I love you. God, I love you. Why did you show up? How did you show up? Oh, dear God, thank you for showing up. I'll love you forever. Let's all stand.